Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may God's Holy Spirit be present. Amen. Good morning, dear friends. I bring you greetings from your sisters and brothers of the Episcopal Church in Europe, 20 congregations that are part of our church, spread out from Paris in the west to Tbilisi, Georgia in the east. People who feel deeply connected to you, whether you know it or not. So I hope that someday you will come and visit us, but for today, I am coming to visit you. If you grew up in this tradition, you've probably already figured out from the clues available to you that today is Good Shepherd Sunday in the annual calendar of Holy Mother Church. The 23rd Psalm is a hint, and of course the gospel lesson you just heard, where we are made to understand that we are sheep. That's a really big hint. And the next two hymns you're going to sing, that's pretty much going to leave you in no doubt about it. We hear this theme every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter. And nearly every year, preachers in every pulpit lean into that metaphor for all it is worth. And to tell you the truth, that is what I plan to do at the late service today. Because, you know, I don't know if it's the same here as it is in Europe, but we worry about the people at the late service. They need a little more help. But folks who come to the early service, you're more theologically rigorous. You have higher expectations. And so, sisters and brothers, what I'd like to invite you to think about with me this morning isn't about sheep and shepherds. It's about that story of Peter and that faithful disciple Dorcas. The story of the raising of Dorcas is set in the middle of a series of stories about Peter, stories that the writer of Acts collected and shared to help us understand that in the apostles who founded the early church, the work of Christ was continuing. A paralyzed man walks. Dorcas, who doesn't just seem to be dead, she is dead, and she is raised. Cornelius, the centurion, a soldier of the occupying Roman Empire, a man who by rights should be outside the economy of salvation, he is made part of the Christian community. And in what is maybe the most remarkable transformation of all, Peter himself is changed. He comes to understand that the invitation of the gospel and the power of the cross is for all people and not just his own people. And so in all of that, it is easy to overlook this little story of Dorcas. She is deeply loved by the people around her. They treasured the things that she had made for them. We're not told what her family situation was, but we know she was a woman of the way, a person associated with the disciples. She helped and nurtured others. She was tireless in good works. If you think about it, you know, what she really sounds like is a mom. This little story we heard this morning is all we know about Dorcas. This good woman, so beloved by so many people, this strong Christian example gets exactly 194 words in the whole Bible. Even after she is raised from the dead, we never hear about her again. Or, to sum it up in another way, she works herself to death, the whole community mourns her, she is raised from the dead, and then, as far as we can tell, what does she do? She goes back to work. Now that really sounds like a mom. For many of us who walk this journey of faith, the person who first set us on this path was someone who was a mother to us, someone who nurtured us, whose presence in our lives we treasure, who made things for us. More importantly, who made in us some sense of God. But there's something about the story of this woman that encompasses all of us, not just moms, not just the faithful women around us, but all of us. Because at the very center of the story is the reality that before the happy ending, Dorcas is dead. This woman of good and charitable works who nurtures a community and is beloved by them has died. Now, I am a stranger here. There is a good chance that we will never see each other again. So I have a little more freedom than I should probably be trusted with to ask you an impolite question. What I want to ask you is this: does that sound maybe like us? Does that maybe describe you more than you'd like to admit? Does your spirit, your hope, your faith, does it feel maybe more than a little dead? I come to you this morning from your church in Europe. I minister alongside people in our church who make their churches in the old world, the world from which the church as we have received it grew up into what we know today. The theologian Alan Roxburgh has spoken of America as a place of Euro-tribal churches, what we regard as denominations here, those equal players in the marketplace of spiritual ideas, Episcopal, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran. Those are all part of the deep and bloody history of the countries and cultures where we now have congregations. We, your church in Europe, we are incidental to the history of that place. We are a migrant church in Europe. And I can tell you that European culture generally regards Christianity as something that is over. The Episcopal Church in Europe, your church in that place, is a Christian presence in a Europe that imagines itself to be post-Christian. It is as though our ideas about the equal dignity of all people before God, about the transformative power of love to reconcile division and shape justice, about the possibility of the sacred in these human lives of ours, all of that, where I live, is seen as a spent force. We are like Dorcas. Dorcas at the very pivot of the story. There is a reason why we hear this story during the Easter season. No, there are no shepherds in this story, no sheep, but there is resurrection. Even, especially, when that seems to be utterly impossible. I am sure the rector has taught you this. I am sure Mother Beth has taught you this, but it bears saying again, the point of Easter, this feast so great that it takes us 50 days to celebrate it, the point of Easter is not, at least not just, life after death. Yes, that is certainly part of the claim of Easter. Yes, by our baptism into a death like his, we have been made one with a resurrection like his. But there is something even more profound about this Easter we are in. Something that is taught to us right here in this story of Dorcas. It is that the point of the cross and the grave and the resurrection, the point of this faith of ours, is not just to give us life after death, but life before death,
life right here, right now, abundant, full life for God's sake. Not the life most of the people around us lead, lives that are half dead to the possibility of the Spirit. Not a life disconnected from the possibility of God living and working among us and in us, but the life we are meant to have. The whole of this human life, physical and emotional and vocational and cultural and spiritual, all of it, not just the perishing parts of it. Dorcas is dead, worked to death. We know what that feels like. And then she is alive. Alive because she is loved by God and loved by the people of God, back into the full possibility of life, the life that God intended for her. That is what we are doing here. If we are here for the right reasons, we are here to let the church do that work in us, to love us back alive and alert and raised up for good works and acts of charity. We are here to be raised from the deaths we give into, not just the death of this mortal body of ours. And once we allow that to happen, then we are here to be the church that is resurrected. The church that has spent its long, long history doing good works and acts of charity. The church that most people are either dismissing or lamenting as dead. The church that is, like Dorcas, at the pivot, not the end, the pivot of the story. That is the dangerous message of Easter for us, 9 o'clock service. God means to awaken us from the little deaths we die every day. God means to love us back out of our spiritual torpor, to show something through us about God's relentless love in this world, to take us by the hand and show us to the saints and the widows out there that we are raised and alive and at work. Amen.